Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10, hear the word of the Lord. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Father, we ask that you would prepare our hearts, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts to hear your word, to receive your word, and to do what you command. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. The ideal wife, the ideal woman, this is a role model in Proverbs chapter 31. And the phrase in verse 10, excellent wife, as the ESV renders it, is most literally a strong wife, a woman of strength. The term primarily has to do with military strength. In fact, in the Septuagint, the ancient Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, it renders it a manly woman. The idea is a woman of strength. The ideal woman is strong. How so? Well, the poem tells us. She works hard. She makes money. She's smart. She's kind to the poor. She's fearless about the future. She is a blessing and enhances her husband. She speaks with wisdom. And on and on and on. She's strong. Verse 17 sums it up. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. The picture is of a strong, industrious, wise woman giving tirelessly of herself to her family, giving tirelessly of herself to her community, giving tirelessly of herself to her church. She has high standards and she sticks to them. No wonder her husband trusts so deeply in her. Look at verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her. He feels honored to be her husband. He regularly wonders, why did she marry me? She's excellent. Now, I want to speak to three groups of people this morning from Proverbs along these lines. One is to the marrieds, married husbands and wives. The second is to the singles who perhaps hope to be married at some point. And then thirdly, to those who have been through the bitter pain of a failed marriage. So let me first speak to those who are married, women. Some of you read Proverbs 31 and you think to yourself, my standards aren't that high. I fall short of what is described in Proverbs 31. I don't feel that strong. I feel deflated. Here's what I want you to know this morning. When God, in his infinite wisdom, wanted a wife for your husband, he reached across the infinite expanse from heaven to earth in the timeless recesses of his divine sovereignty. And he arranged the entire flow of creation history and human history to bring your man to you. You, in God's eyes, are the excellent wife for your husband. You are a precious gift to your husband. That is how the Bible describes you. That is how God sees you. And God's strong affirmation of you is where you should draw new strength to enable you to keep growing. This is the ideal. This is something we are to grow into. Women are to grow into over a lifetime and become more and more strong and excellent in your walk with the Lord. Now, married men, I have a little more to say to us. We might be thinking, I haven't valued my wife the way she deserves. I haven't trusted her. My heart hasn't trusted in her the way it should, as verse 11 describes. Now, let's think about that for a moment. Because one thing we've seen in our study in the book of Proverbs is that most of Proverbs is written to future husbands or husbands-to-be. Now, we've made the point many times, you can flip it, and the wisdom, of course, applies to women. But there's a particular emphasis on husbands. In fact, the English word husbandry means cultivation. Cultivation. If you are a husband, one of your primary jobs is to cultivate your wife, nurture your wife into the strong and excellent wife. Care for her. Care for her. Care for her so that in her latter years, she's able to look back on the marriage and say, what a blessing my life has been. What a blessing my husband was to me. What a blessing that my husband understood me and he helped me to grow in Christ. Now, husbands, how do we do that? How do we nurture our wives? How do we care for our wives? It's not by browbeating. Very seldom do you see God browbeating us to make us more Christ-like. It's by nurturing. It's by encouraging. It's right here. Look at the end of our chapter. I saved this because I don't want us to miss this. Look at verse 28. Encouraging. Her children, rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Her children stand up. They stand up in honor and they speak words of praise to their mother. They tell her the things that she is good at. They tell her the things that she is gifted at. They admire her. And they praise her. Where do the children learn that from? They learn it from watching dad. Look, verse 28. Her husband also, he praises her. In fact, the key word here from verses 28 to 31 is praise. It appears three times in these verses. A husband cultivates his wife by praising her. The husband cultivates his wife by setting a high tone of praise in the home. Not by browbeating. No put downs, no fault finding, no yelling, no insults. And the children at home, in the community, praise her as well. That's what God wants to fill our churches with, our homes with, our communities with. Positive, life-giving praise, so that the women and the wives and the mothers may flourish and thrive in excellence and strength. What does the husband say to her? I love this. Look at verse 29. This is the husband to the wife. Many women have done excellently. There's a lot of good women out there. But you surpass them all. You're the best. You are the best. Husbands, how does your wife excel? How does your wife excel? Think of some ways that your wife excels and tell her about it. And do it in front of the children. Do it at the lunch table today. Do it at the dinner table tonight. Do it again tomorrow. And if you can't think of ways that she excels, then look at yourself and ask, how am I encouraging her to excel? What am I doing to fulfill my biblical responsibility to encourage her and nurture her to excel? How can I help her to be excellent? That word excellent appears throughout the passage, strong. Verse 29, many women have done excellently. That is the bookend that begins in verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? God wants to see our wives become more and more excellent, more and more strong, more and more capable. And he wants us and our children to be cheering them and praising them along the way as they do. That's how we nurture our wives and mothers. This is the gospel, friends. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. If Proverbs 31 is the picture of the ideal wife, Ephesians 5 has to be the picture of the ideal husband. Proverbs chapter 5, beginning verse 25. How you see God is inevitably going to show up in how you treat your family, husbands. And you see that here. Proverbs chapter 5, this is about the gospel. 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That is quite the job description. How did Christ love the church? Well, he told her he will never leave her or forsake her. He told her he will always speak truth to her. He told her he will always keep his promises to her. He told her he would bind himself to her, even to the point of it costing him his very life. That is a tall order for husbands and how they are to love their wives. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ in his grace and his glory, it will absolutely change the way you treat your wife. The way you treat your wife speaks volumes about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Paul goes on to say here. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, strengthen her, make her more excellent, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that he might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. Nurture your wife, cherish your wife, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Husbands, the way you treat your wives is a reflection of the love of Christ for his church. It is a living, walking, tangible picture of the gospel. And either it's going to be true or it's going to be blasphemous. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace and his glory, it will change the way you treat your wife and a whole lot more things in your life. Let me say a word from Proverbs to those who are not married but hope to be. Turn with me to Proverbs 12. Proverbs has a lot to say about what's at stake in choosing a spouse. But here's a good summary proverb. Proverbs 12:4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. And you can flip that and reverse it. An excellent husband is the crown of his wife. The metaphor here is of a crown. The good things that a wife brings her husband. It's like a crown on your head. It's an honor. It's a blessing. An excellent wife, it'd be hard to think of a greater blessing in this life than an excellent wife. Someone who builds him up, doesn't tear him down. Someone who helps him, someone who supports him, someone who respects him. Someone who comes alongside and encourages him. Nothing like it. But it raises the stakes in the second part of this proverb by warning against a poor choice. But, verse 4, she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. So you have the honor of a crown for the one who makes a wise choice of a spouse, but you have a lifetime of inner rottenness for the one who makes a poor choice in a spouse. The stakes are high. Look at Proverbs 27. There's lots of Proverbs that fall into this category. But let's just look at one more. Proverbs wants you to know what's at stake in choosing a potential candidate for marriage. Proverbs 27, verse 15. A continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. To restrain her is to restrain the wind, or to grasp oil in one's right hand. An unwise choice is like a leaky roof on a rainy day. And you know what the result is of a leaky roof if it is not taken care of. It leads to rot. It leads to decay. This is a very similar metaphor. A poor choice of a spouse can destroy a life. Here's the bottom line when it comes to choosing a spouse. It matters who you marry. Boy, I've seen that countless times. It matters who you marry. That's what Proverbs is telling us. In fact, I don't think I could think of any other human choice that will have more effect on your quality of life this side of heaven than the choice of a future spouse. So here's what Proverbs tells you. If you're single and you're thinking of marriage, seek the Lord. Seek his wisdom. Seek him in prayer. Seek counsel. Seek the counsel of your parents if they are wise. Seek the counsel of wise Christian friends. And seek character above all other things in a future spouse, in a potential spouse. Seek character. Look how the poem ends. Back in Proverbs 31. The emphasis is not on beauty. The emphasis is not on charm. Verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That should be the first and foremost characteristic that you look for in a future spouse, a potential spouse. So, Proverbs has addressed married women, married men this morning. Proverbs has addressed single people potentially to be married. Let me address a third and final category. What about the men and women who already made a choice and they did not choose wisely? What about men and women who find themselves on the other end of a divorce, who find themselves in the painful and bitter experience of a divorce? Or perhaps you have a friend who's been through that. If you're not in one of these categories, you know people who are. And you have opportunities to minister and to counsel and to bring wisdom and to speak God's truth into that. Let me just turn to the Gospel of John for a moment. John chapter 4. And remind you of that one day when Jesus was speaking with a woman by a well in Samaria. John chapter 4, verse 13. He meets her at the well, and Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again," speaking of the water in the well. "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again." It's a whole different type of water. "The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You were right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." This woman, feeling the shame of her past, this woman feeling the shame of her sin, this woman feeling the shame of multiple poor choices she had made over the course of her life when it comes to choosing spouses and divorcing spouses, in her shame, she admitted Jesus was right. "You're absolutely right." He called her out on her sin. She said, "You're absolutely right. You must be a prophet. You're exactly correct." She made no excuses, but she confessed the truth. And you go on to see in the passage that as a result, Jesus reveals himself to her as the Messiah. And that clarifies the promise that he would give living water that would well up as springs of eternal life to anyone who repents and turns to him. And that's exactly what he did that day. Forgave her of her sin. Told her, "You are a new creation in Christ. Go forward as a new creation in Christ. Make better choices going forward, but you are forgiven. You are a new creature in Christ." And friends, if you have felt the sting of a marriage gone bad, I want to assure you this morning, Jesus offers the same thing for you. He offers forgiveness. He offers a new way. He will hear you in your repentance, and he will offer you fresh, living waters of life. In fact, that's true for all of us. Married, single, divorced, whatever category you're in, when it comes to relationships, we're all sinners. We've all made poor choices. We make poor choices in sin. We make poor choices in ignorance. But the Savior who died in our place, the Savior who suffered for our sins, will always respond to our repentance in this way, offering fresh springs of water of life, offering himself, offering his Holy Spirit, offering his eternal truth. Whatever our circumstances, know this morning that it is in Christ Jesus that we find our only true comfort and our only true eternal satisfaction. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wisdom from your word. Lord, we thank you for the mothers that you have blessed us so richly in our lives with. We pray for our mothers. We pray for our wives. We pray for our families. We pray for our church. Lord, help us all to be encouragers to the women in our lives, that they may be strong and excellent and growing in the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.